Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Glovina Show. I'd like you to do me a huge favor. Could you please post, call, or text someone and invite them to join us on the Dr. Glovina Show? And I am Glovina Williams. Before we move on, I want to remind you that God knows the thoughts and the plans He has for your life. But the question remains, do you believe God? Because when we truly believe God, this belief requires action. In other words, I'm encouraging you to step out on faith. I want to remind you, this is a safe place where you can gain clarity to rebuild and possibly restructure your life and feel safe and happy while doing it. Okay, let's get started.
And let's really get started. I am so happy that you have joined me today for the Dr. Glovina Show. And I want to give a special shout out. I mean, just initially, I want to come right out and just say thank you to all of our veterans. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I love you so much, and I think so much about you and the sacrifice that you have made. Wow, Veterans Day. It's a federal holiday here in America, and this is a time when we remember all who have served in the military. It can be during wartime, or it could have been during peacetime, but this is a time that we celebrate them. Initially, we celebrated after World War I, when we agreed to stop the fighting. It became a federal holiday in 1938. But then it was renamed in 1954, Veterans Day. And so now we don't only celebrate World War I, but we celebrate no matter who has served. They are, all of the veterans are celebrated. And the date actually is November 11th. And there was a time when we would celebrate it on various days of the week. But now, no matter what day of the week November 11th takes place, we honor all of our veterans. And we can thank President Gerald Ford for that. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for celebrating our veterans. You know, I have a little bit of a little trivia here. I wouldn't say trivia, but a very important point. Those of you who are aware of Harriet Tubman, she was an abolitionist and a social activist. Guess what? She was a veteran. She served in the American Civil War, and she was an armed scout and a spy for the Union Army. Well, with that being said, again, welcome to the Dr. Glovina Show. I have a very, very special treat for us today. We have the honor and the privilege of talking with two veterans today. If you noticed, we entitled this Plus One Equals Two. Have you ever been invited to a special occasion and you ask for the plus one? I'd like to add a guest. Well, this is Plus One Equals Two, and we're going to hear today, and we're going to interview Chief Warrant Officer 3, retired James Ayler. 23 years of military service in the United States Army, and then his beautiful bride, Sergeant First Class Shatoya Ayler. 15 years of military service in the Army. Oh, if we were a live audience, guess what? I'd say give them a hand. But you know, I don't have my clap button available. But I would like to say welcome so much. We're so happy that you're here. And I want to just have the Aylers to say hello to you in their own special way.
Thank you. Thank you. Glovina, for that warm welcome, and we're very happy to be here. But I will add one caveat to Ms. Harriet Tubman. I don't know if you're aware that Governor Wes Moore of Maryland is going to posthumously promote her to a one-star general today in Maryland.
Oh, my God. I was not aware of that. Wow, that is amazing. And thank you for bringing that to our attention. Harriet Tubman, wow, being promoted to
one-star general.
Amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much. And Veterans Day 2024. Now, we want to hear a little bit about the Ailers. So you decide, both of you decide who's going to go first, but please just tell us a little bit about yourself as we move into the interview today. Plus one equals two.
Yes. Once again, thank you so much, Bishop. This is Shatoya. And it's such an honor to be on this podcast with you this morning. James and I, we actually met in the military. We was stationed in the same unit over in Kaiserslautern, Germany. And that's where our journey began with dating and then getting married and having children. As you stated, James, he served for 23 years, just recently retired. I served for 15 years. Also worked in the federal government for a few years as well. And military, the military has been our life. It has been pretty much everything to us, and we honor all of our fellow veterans and those we've served with because they truly made an impact on our lives as well.
Yeah, I agree. A time in service, it's been very special for us. You know, just the relationships we built. I have so many brothers and sisters in service right now that, you know, I would stop traffic for and go across the world to support them in any endeavors that they have going on. And that's been the most important piece of it for me. So we're just taking that and, you know, their families and our families, we just become one big tribe. So absolutely respect the service that everyone puts in, the time that they sacrifice for it. And it just naturally becomes part of who you are.
Yes, so much. I like that. It becomes naturally a part of who you are. One family. And many of you know that, if you don't know, I work for the Department of Defense. And actually, my position was to ensure that the military, the active duty military, and their families, that they had the quality of life, no matter where they served, that they had the quality of life that they were accustomed to here in America. It was just one way of the Department of Defense, the United States government, saying thank you for sacrificing your life, bringing your family to various places throughout the world. And we're going to bring people on board that can help you and your family adjust as soon as possible. And the mission for us, I'm speaking to the Ailers and all of our listeners, our mission was to help to ease any stress, any undue stress, so that the military member could stay focused on the mission. So they wouldn't have to be concerned about their family, their children, schooling, after-school activities, their finances. That was our role. And so I want to say thank you because you did. You made a great sacrifice. And I'd just like to ask, what lessons have you learned as a military family that's helped to shape your perspective on a couple of things, resilience, sacrifice, and even service?
Yeah, definitely. So one of those is one of my favorite words is resilience. Just being still spined when bad times come, because they are going to come in any walk of life. They're going to come, but preparing yourself in advance, you know, making sure that you are mentally aware, spiritually aware, financially aware, physically aware, that you have your ducks in a row. So when that challenge comes, you and your family are ready to bounce back from it, because it's going to come, you know, whether that's it's going to be challenges in different deployments or different places that you may be stationed or just things that your family may be going through, you know, being away from home, having deaths in the family, just being resilient and making sure that everybody within those circles of circles understands what their key role is and being resilient and how dangerous it is when you're not resilient, because when those things occur, then, you know, you find yourself on shaky ground. And if you are not, if you don't have your relationships right, then when you fall on that shaky ground, it's really, really hard to come back from.
Yep. And I would like to add, James and I, we have been married for 19 years. And the bulk of our marriage has been under military service. And so throughout those 19 years, we have learned a lot about each other. We have learned a lot about how we should move as a family, especially when we started to add our children, you know, to the mix. And through that, what we have learned is the biggest piece was communication. Through communicating, through every challenge that we're faced, through every move, through every deployment, it helped us to build resilience. And then also that sacrifice that we have made, it wasn't just about us as soldiers, but we also had to recognize that our children was making a sacrifice as well. And because we was able to honor the sacrifice as each other as soldiers and then as well as our children, then we understood the service that we had as moving as a family unit with communication at all times. And so I think the biggest lessons that we have learned that shaped our perspective has been learning how to communicate through every challenge that we have faced.
Agreed.
I'm here. I love it. The resilience. And there have been studies that have been conducted that they have found that military children are very resilient. Mm-hmm. That I heard the term that you used, James, that bounce back. And you said that
right.
Part of the bounce back, that resiliency, comes from preparing in advance. There's something that seems to work on the inside of this resilience that military, as well as their families, they bring it back to their civilian life, that bounce back, that stick-to-it-ness. That making sure that everyone understands their roles. I'm going to ask a question. When you say that everyone understanding their roles, if we look at a family unit, because what you're sharing with us, we can use this now. So
mm-hmm.
When you say that everyone understanding their roles, could you elaborate a little bit with us, say, in the family context, let's say even of a military move, how does everyone get their roles communicated to them?
Yeah, so I think it kind of begins naturally, right? So the first one sometimes may not go right, but you learn lessons from it. You know, like in the military, we call it an AAR. You do that after action review. But I think once you begin to practice something, and that's one thing that we kind of forget as I'm talking to, you know, younger guys in the community nowadays, is that we kind of forget that we become better through practice. You know, when we have that success, when we achieve that greatness, we don't achieve that greatness because we did something right that one day. We achieve that greatness because we did something right or wrong over and over and over and over again, and we learned those lessons from it, and we made those small adjustments. So speaking specifically about the communications and roles, so like, for example, I'll give a perfect example. Our first PCS back to the States after we were in Germany for almost 5 years, both our kids were small, arm babies, and Toya had recently got off active duty after Cash was born, who's our son. So, you know, he was a mama's boy. He didn't want to go nowhere. She didn't want to go. I would come home from work and he would kind of look at me and play with me, but then he went back to mama. But when it was time to go through that arduous 18, 20 hour task of flying from Germany to America with two strollers and two car seats and 18 bags and all that stuff. I kind of went to her when we was at the airport in Germany. I said, look, from here until when we get situated in America, any and everything he needs, I need to do it. Because, you know, I haven't been home to do these things because I've been at work. But now we're in transition mode. I'm going to need to let, you know, I need you to let me be his dad so that he can see and trust me that I can do these things for him also. Because that's really what it is. He didn't trust that I could do those things because mommy always did it. And even as an 18-month-old baby, I could tell where his trust lies. So I needed to break that and enter that myself. And by the time we got to the States and got out of the hotel and was in our first rental, he was running up to me, grabbed my leg every time he wanted something. So that's just one of those things that where we took, you know, experiences from the military of earning the trust of your peers and your subordinates and your supervisors and applying it to our family dynamic in a very short time.
And I love that James shared that story because that was the very beginning of us realizing the importance of us understanding the phases of our children, using that to redefine our roles within the family unit, who will take lead, who will maybe need to step up in this situation of nurturing and caring. And I think it helped to bring a balance because it kind of it broke up that that monotony of mommy is always doing this or daddy is always doing this, especially when I got out of the military and wasn't in uniform anymore. And I think it allowed both of our children to have a greater understanding and respect for us as their parents as they got older too, knowing that everyone has a role to play in this family and not just one role is defined to just mommy or daddy or to Kira or to Cash. Mm-hmm. So I like that. So thank you for sharing that one.
Wow. Yeah, everyone has a role. And then understanding the roles, you said it brings balance. That's
yeah.
an interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting scenario. How the even though your son was only say 18 months old, he was able to see that hey, daddy too is can meet my needs as well, and that is
right.
one of yeah that's one of the things that we would have like we would have separation and reunion classes for the military families because often one military person may be deployed the active duty while the spouse may be at home with the family. So while the spouse is at home, as you brought out, they're pretty much meeting all the needs of the children. But now when the active duty person comes home, those responsibilities have to be shared. But because of your, I heard you say, because of your military training, you were aware that this was something that needed to be attended to. Very good. Listen, how about the sacrifice? I'm sure that the sacrifices that you made, I said plus one equals two. So there were two people in the military. Tell us a little bit about those sacrifices.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, all the different training, you know, 30 days, 45 days here, missing birthdays. I think I've been deployed 5 times since we've been married. Toya has had to go away for school on multiple times. You know, sacrifices of our children not being able to just have both parents at home as compared to maybe a civilian family. But at the same time, while, you know, some people may look at that and be like, oh, man, I can't believe that's a lot. But, I mean, looking back, I wouldn't change anything because it made all of us individually who we are and collectively, you know, who we are as a family. So, yeah, those sacrifices was rough and tough. But I think, you know, when everybody's working for the same accord and everybody is pushing in the same direction, it makes it easier to kind of get through those sacrifices. You know, and you spoke about when families come back together, you know, I know one of the things that I would always try to do when I would return is I would always kind of talk with Toya and say, hey, look, I'm not going to really change anything. I'm not going to try to do too much for about a month or so. because I need to slowly get back into the mix. You know, I would cook and I would clean and things like that, but if she had a certain schedule or if she was doing things a certain way, then I just tried to be additive instead of, okay, I'm back, we're going to go back to doing things the way when I'm home, you know, and that, because then that takes away from the authority and the, you know, the promise that she's enjoying with the kids during that time frame. It messes their rhythm up.
So. And we, slowly integration was one of the things that we always try to incorporate, patience and time, so that it doesn't throw off the rhythm of the family. It doesn't throw off what maybe I have created, the structure I've created with the children. But then when we are now reincorporating James back into the mix, it's much easier and a smoother transition, so no one gets overwhelmed and no one feels like everything is subtly changing. Because one thing that we had to be persistent with is constantly evolving, but evolving at a good pace that was comfortable for everyone moving forward.
Exactly. Pace is really important. You know, you don't want to, I can't come in and outpace my family. If my family is outpacing me, or if one of the kids is moving a little fast, we all kind of want to stay on that same trajectory, the same wavelength. So I always had this kind of, this moniker that I would explain to my soldiers. You know, if you can imagine about four people standing at the same point anywhere on the earth, and then they all start walking off in a straight line, they'll generally be in the same location 4 or 5 miles later. But if they all turn their feet just a little bit at the start point in a different direction and they start walking, they'll still be able to see each other for that first, you know, 400 or 500 meters or so. But as you continue to walk through this thing we call life, if you are not on the same wavelength, if you don't have your feet pointed in the same direction, you're going to end up in all different locations. So it's very, very important to stay focused on where your feet are.
Plus one equals two. Wow. Keep your feet pointed in the right direction so that we can reach the same destination that we headed out for. Yeah, and not outpacing your family, but staying on the same wavelength. These are valuable lessons that you're sharing with us. Ooh-wee. This works. This model, these directions, these instructions, this wisdom, what you all learned in the military, these lessons that you've learned that help to shape your perspective, will help us to help to shape our perspectives. You know, you talked about the frequent moves and living in diverse places. I'd like to ask, how did that impact your family dynamics? And I want to bring in the children now. How has that affected or impacted your children's world view?
Okay, well, yeah, that's really a good one. That was actually part of our decision-making process. So when Toya and I met, as she stated, we met in Germany. So our children was born in Germany. They was, you know, arm babies when we came home. And while impressionable, is, you know, at that age, it's nothing compared to being preteens. So in 2016, mm-hmm. I guess 2015, the conversation came up. I had an opportunity to go to Italy. And, you know, and when you say opportunity in the military, it's really called orders. It means like, hey, you going to Italy. So I had this opportunity to go to Italy, and I probably could have got out of it. It probably wouldn't have helped my trajectory or my career because of the unit and the people that wanted me to come there. But, you know, me and Toy had to talk about it. It was always on the top of our bucket list. It's just a dream place to go. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to Italy? But we had to reevaluate it with the children at the age that they were. And I know for me, one of my biggest reasons for wanting to go at that time with them being preteens was honestly to get them a bigger and better worldview and a better perspective. because I know what it's like to be overseas. So it was just important to me. And through those 3 years that we were there, I believe it gave them an opportunity to see how other people live and gave them, more range and more scope on life. And then when they got back to the States, they were able to see, like, oh, wow, okay, this is different, you know, compared to what we're used to. Because, you know, teenagers learn a lot in those 3 to 4 preteen years.
Okay. Yeah, the family dynamics of the opportunity to live overseas, experience these cultures, and getting a world view of what this world is really all about. Well, this has been exciting, but I just have one more question I want us to just dive into for a moment. What advice would the Ehlers, how about that? What advice would Mr. and Mrs. Ehler, what advice would Chief Warrant Officer 3 retired James Ehler and Sergeant First Class Shatoya Ehler, what advice would you offer to other military families navigating the challenges of constant relocation, deployments, and transitions?
Yes, I would like to say that first, you are your spouse's helpmate. You are there to help each other, to push each other, to support each other, and to love each other. And just to keep that open communication, always put God first. Always come together to the table. Have a sit down. One thing that James and I do, we have family business meetings. We sit down, we talk about what the next move is going to look like, what this relocation is going to look like, any deployments that was coming up at that time for us, now that we're in that retirement phase, or any transitions, have those conversations. And then invite the children in. Invite the children to the conversation, allow their voices to be heard, listen to their concerns, and then lift all those things up in prayer together. But number one is to always have that open door of communication, knowing that you and your spouse, you are one. Move as one unit, move together and in sync.
That's right. And for me, my grandfather always told me, you do what you got to do now so you can do what you want to do later. And thank God he gave me those words, because now I'm entering that stage of later where I can kind of do what I want to do as a grumpy old vet. But at the same time, that gave us guidance early. And the advice that I would give others would be, get with your helpmate and you guys identify where you want to be off into the future.
Amen.
And once you identify what that is, then you start setting those conditions so you can achieve it. And any hurdle, any speed bump, any valley, any mountain that you engage on the way is just a journey, and you have to enjoy that journey. Don't allow those things that's happening daily or weekly or monthly deter you from where you're trying to get. Because you're going to have those, and that goes back to that resiliency piece. You're going to have those steeps and hills and valleys. It's all about how you handle them. It's going to help determine whether you get to your end game.
Wow. Whew. Amazing. This is +1=2. This is a very special couple here. They served together in the United States Army. And we salute you today. We applaud you. We applaud you because the resiliency, the sacrifice, the service, just shaping your family, and so much now, as you mentioned, that advice that your grandfather gave you, we can all grab that. We're going to do what we need to do now so that we can do what we want to do later. You've definitely paid more than your dues. I know military personnel, they're on duty 24 hours. They're on call, can you imagine? And they must be worldwide deployable. Yeah. Oh, this has been so wonderful. I want to thank the Ehlers, and I know that you do too. One of the goals of the military, the United States military across the branches, is to always return better citizens back to our local community. And the Ehlers, and many of you that are listening, You have truly done that. You're better citizens. You contribute so much to this world to make it a better place. Oh, I have so many I could shout out to today, but I may miss someone's name, but I've got to shout out to the Pride Moors. Do you know it's the Pride Moors, the United States Navy family, that actually sponsors the Dr. Glovina Show? Again, plus one equals two. I want to shout out to the Pembertons, to the Lesters, the Gillises, because a military family sometimes includes your parents. It includes adopted children. It can include, it includes so many, the military family, the Davises, the McNeils, the Pilates, the Lifes, the Smiths, the Aylers, of course, the Harris Williams, the Griffiths, the Dunns, Warriors, Reed, the Bells, the Thomases, the Barnetts. The names go on and on. But I want to say to each of you, I may not have called your name, but we salute you today on this Veterans Day, and we want to thank you for your service. Plus one equals two. Thank you so much, and God bless all of our veterans. We love you so much. Thank you again, Aylers. Keep up the good work. Enjoy retirement, because the best is yet to come.
Thank you. And please join me the next time on the Dr. Glovina Show. You can connect with me on my social media platform. And until next time, love, peace, and prosperity.